Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Stephen Dutzman, and I am your host. I am also the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That is a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-hosts come together to give everyone the information they need to get their family game on. Today, I have an extra special long commute because somehow, even though I came home from Boston yesterday from PAX, I'm going back to Boston for my day job. I know, it's crazy. Had I planned this out better, I might have just stayed in Boston for one more day. But what are you going to do? So, yesterday was a big deal. I recorded a special episode. If you haven't heard it, if you didn't hear it yet, definitely give it a listen. I went over all the games from PAX East, or maybe not all of them, but a lot of the games that kind of stuck out that I played at PAX East. And then I made it home and Wizards of the Coast held a panel to announce War of the Spark. And man, it was a really great panel. So I wanted to talk about some of the details because we had a bunch of question marks. Those questions have been answered. And so now we're going to go. The first thing is, if you're at home listening to this, stop what you're doing, go to YouTube, look up War of the Spark trailer and watch it. That trailer, though, it is already the most watched Magic the Gathering trailer ever. It is really, really good. Kind of showcases some of the shenanigans that are going on. Clearly, this set is going to highlight Liliana and her battle against, what the heck's his name? Oh my goodness, he's the big guy. I've written his name a whole bunch of times. The big dragon guy. We'll just leave it at that for now. So, you know, she is clearly beefing with him, and rightfully so. And so they gave us a lot of information. So, let's just, oh, by the way, his name is Nicol Bolas, an elder dragon. They revealed a lot of information, and they gave us kind of an update on the story. They gave us an update on the mechanics, and they explained how they're going to put a planeswalker in every pack. So, let's talk about it. First, from a story perspective, this is what's been happening. Unbeknownst to many of us, right, Nicol Bolas has been going from place to place, and he has been trying to assemble an army. That's where he went to Amon Khet. He has been, which is a set from a little while back, he went to Ixalan to get the Immortal Sun, which he has captured. And all of this is to give him an army and the tools that he needs to attack Ravnica. Ravnica is a city of immense power. It's the key to because his ultimate goal is he wants to be a god. And so he's doing all this stuff, and what he's doing is he is putting out, he's ringing the battle drums and encouraging planeswalkers from all over the multiverse to come and fight him. And they're doing it. They're fighting him. And the thing about that is, that's what he wants. He wants those planeswalkers to come and find him, and apparently he has some elder magic. In fact, there's going to be a card called the Elder Spell that does something, we don't know, but he wants those planeswalkers there. Now, they haven't revealed all of it yet. There's going to be a novel about all this, which I actually can't wait to read, where we'll be able to kind of get caught up. And so there are going to be 37 total planeswalkers legal as part of the set. One of them will not be available in packs. He is the buy a box promo, and that's Tezzeret, the Master of Bridges. So he is the buy a box promo. So the only way to get him is to buy a box of War of the Spark, or have a box sent to you. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really, really cool, that story beat of all these planeswalkers are walking into a trap, is scary from a plot perspective, but it's really interesting, the way that everything is going to work out, and they're all there. Everybody's here. It feels like Smash Brothers, only Magic the Gathering related. So, they finally explained, because we had speculated across a number of podcasts and live videos. We had wondered, really, like, how were we going to, you know, how are they going to put a Planeswalker in every pack? You know, they couldn't have them all be of Mythic rarity, because that's just insane. They don't print that many Mythic rarity cards in every set. So they explained it. There will be 36. There will be 20, or so there will be 3 Mythics. We know one of them is Liliana. I presume the second one will be Nicol Bolas. We do not know who the third one is at this time. I mean, technically, Nicol Bolas could be somebody else, but if somehow, flavor-wise, it would feel really weird if Nicol Bolas was not as powerful as the other. As you know, he's got to be at the top. And then there will be 20 uncommons, so they're printing planeswalkers at the uncommon rarity, and the rest of them will be rare. So, 20, you know, 36, 23, so there'll be 13 rares, okay? So, clearly, a huge portion of this set is going to be planeswalkers. And so, here's how they did it. And I actually think it's really fascinating the way that they did it. Rather than playing around with how packs are distributed and things like that, what they're doing is, or just pushing them all and making them all mythics, what they're doing is all of the planeswalkers in War of the Spark have a static ability, meaning it is an ability that is always active. For example, Ajani the Great-Hearted. Ajani is this big lion dude. He's white and green. He is... his static ability is creatures you control have vigilance. So he's almost like an enchantment unto himself. So you play him, and all of your creatures get vigilance. And as long as he is on the battlefield, creatures you control have vengeance. And then he is a rare. So he doesn't have an ultimate ability. Ultimate abilities, which are the big ones that are usually very expensive, that are very game-changey, you know, like remove half of your deck from your opponent's deck from the game or whatever, right? Like, those are the kind of things that you don't really have to think about. You don't have those on rares, but he has a plus and a minus. So you get to just kind of, he has abilities that, you know, number one, you can either have him gain one loyalty counter and just gain 3 life, which in a lot of cases is kind of nice. Another one is he has the ability to, if you have him lose loyalty counters, he actually puts +1/+1 counters on your creatures or loyalty counters on other planeswalkers you control. So he just kind of buffs everybody around him, which is perfectly flavorful with him, right? So he's a rare. Uncommons also have a static ability, but they only have a minus, meaning they are only, you can really only use them a certain number of times unless you find a way to give them more loyalty counters. So, for example, the one they showed us was Vraska, who is the Medusa planeswalker. If you're not familiar with Magic, then most of what I'm saying is not English, but so she is a Medusa planeswalker, and so you put her into play, and her, you know, kind of static ability is that creatures you control get a +1/+1 counter whenever they deal damage to a player or to a planeswalker, which by itself is really, really good. But she does have she has a minus ability where she can create a 1/1 assassin token that if they deal damage to a planeswalker, that planeswalker is destroyed. again, that's what Vraska's really good at, is killing planeswalkers. She's a Medusa assassin kind of chick. So, you know, and that gives you just an idea what they are. And I think it's brilliant. I'd never thought about it. It almost turns the planeswalkers into like a different kind of enchantment. I am absolutely certain that we will be, that at the very least limited is going to be dominated by planeswalker combat and planeswalker abilities. You know, she is a bomb. You know, she's really good. And her abilities are excellent. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. And they've only shown us some of the planeswalkers so far. I mean, realistically, there are a lot more coming. it's crazy to think about how many more are coming, because we've really only seen so many of them. So that is the, you know, that's the whole planeswalkers matter thing, right? Like, they're there. There are going to be a lot of silver bullets and things that specifically deal with planeswalkers, I am sure. But that's, there's going to be a lot, we're all going to be talking a lot about what planeswalkers are and how they work. And yeah, we'll be doing kind of a detailed write-up for beginners relatively soon. Now, they also announced the two keywords that are going to be a part of the set. Every set has two new abilities that appear on cards within the set, and that is kind of how they make their cards, you know, just a little bit more flavorful. And in this case, there are two. The first one is Proliferate, which previously existed back in the second Mirrodin block. This is a bunch of years ago. Where basically, whenever Proliferate happens, for each permanent you control, you take whatever counters are on them and add another one. So do they have +1/+1 counters? Sure, they can have another one. Do they have -1/-1? Sure, they can have another one of those. Do they have a loyalty counter? They can have another one of those. So this is going to be one of those. Proliferate is really cool because for the rest of this set, while we're looking at previews, and even going back as far as everything that is in standard, we just want to look at what is what has counters on them of any kind, because you can proliferate anything. We've seen some crazy stuff. Charge counters, you know, you name it. It's all in there. So, yeah, that's really interesting. The difference is, the last time Proliferate was used, a lot of times Proliferate was used to accelerate -1/-1 counters, because that was how Infect worked, right? If it dealt combat damage to you, creatures in the form of -1/-1 counters. So if you got 1/-1/-1 on an opponent, on a critter, you could just proliferate and eventually kill it, right? Now it's all positive. So proliferate is it's almost like positive proliferation, which is a different flavor. That's how it was used in other kinds of formats, but now it's, you know, it's a new thing, and it's kind of interesting. Very excited to see what happens with that. And again, in a set that's got a ton of planeswalkers, man, we're going to see a lot of proliferation, decks with planeswalkers. Like right now, there will be a deck that is proliferation with, which proliferation is in blue, at least. That's what we have seen. Last time it was also in white. And I think it was in, I mean, we know it's at least blue. So we can presume that colors that ally well with blue, including really good planeswalkers within those colors, will have a proliferation planeswalker deck. Because if, basically, planeswalkers are awesome, and they are even better if you just keep giving them tokens that, or keep giving them loyalty counters. They just get better if they can use their abilities constantly. So someone is brainstorming that kind of proliferate deck somewhere. Someone somewhere is doing it. So the second keyword is called amass. Now this is a new keyword. It's never been used before. Amass basically is used to represent the massive undead army that that Nicol Bolas has brought with him from Amon Khet. So they are a black zombie army, is what they are. So amass is a keyword where it'll have a number attached to it. So let's say, for example, the number is 2. By amassing 2, you add 2 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 counters to your army token, thus making it bigger. Or if you don't have an army token, it creates a 0/0 army zombie army token first. So basically, when you amass, you make a big critter and you make it bigger. And then the next time you amass, it sees the army token and that gets bigger. So that's awesome. it is, excuse me. And so the idea is, rather than having lots of little things, a mass will slowly over time build like a very large creature, which is kind of rad. And a mass spells are, in a lot of cases, they do other things along with it. So for example, you know, there was a spell that was black and red, and you amassed and then dealt damage equal to the army's power to the creatures your opponents control. Or I think it might be even to all creatures, I'm not sure. But the idea is you make a thing and it blows everything else up, which is super cool. We don't have all the cards yet, but they do have a very inexpensive black enchantment. It's one in a black, where every turn you lose one life and amass one. So you make an army, and then every turn you lose a life and that army gets bigger. And if you are able to attack with that army regularly, like if you can use other spells to clear the path, even though you're losing one life, in the first turn or so, sure, it's even. You lose one, they might lose one. But the next turn, you lose one, they lose two. Then you lose one, they lose three. And that's assuming you don't have any other spells that help you amass, which I would presume there will be. I am certain that there will be a relatively inexpensive, like, you know, removal spell that will have, like, amass one. It's like a mono black aggro deck that uses that kind of thing. Seems like it's very fitting. Amass is in, will be in blue and black and red. So I also suspect that there will be a deal one damage to target creature or player, amass one, that kind of thing. So, you know, obviously we're going to have to see, but it's an interesting, very flavorful effect, because I'm going to swing at you with my army, as opposed to with a bunch of little things. So these are decks that are all about having one. These are going to be decks that are all about having one very large creature that you are building up over time, even with smaller spells, right? Like being able to cast a one or two mana spell that builds up this one giant creature while supporting it, that can be pretty efficient. So yes, pretty happy with amass. So, excuse me. So that's the information we know. There have been 34 cards spoiled from the set so far, including the five basic lands. The five basic lands are actually pretty interesting. They're this one panorama of this one scene that kind of shows the different areas in Ravnica that represent the different colors under attack. And it looks really cool. I can't wait to get a stack of those in foil, because, you know, I actually think they're pretty cool lands. Specifically, I like the forests, but, you know, obviously we'll see. We'll actually throw up the lands up on our Instagram, just because I really, you know, want to take a look at it and really kind of point out some of the details, just because I think it's really kind of neat. So, yeah, that's the information we have so far about War of the Spark. I will check in soon with more information for everybody. Obviously, we've got a ways to go. The pre-release is at the end of this month. So we're going to be getting spoilers in groups of cards that are all going to tell a story. That's going to be kind of an interesting kind of twist. Because one thing that's worth mentioning is all of the Planeswalkers are going to have cards that are not them that are associated with them, which we've seen in the past, but they're going to continue that theme, where there will be a Vraska card, but there is also Vraska's finisher. And so we can assume that there will be cards for all of these folks that are kind of the Planeswalker and then the spell that is the Planeswalker doing a thing. That is flavorful and appropriate for them. So I do hope you guys have a... Well, there we go, dropping my microphone. I do hope that you guys have a wonderful day. I will talk to you tomorrow on my regular commute into work. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. Take care. Bye.